All right, welcome to the show, everyone. This is episode number 10 of the Kiwi Running Show, brought to you by Tempo Fit. My name is Hayden Shearman.
And I'm Hamish Meacham, and we are doing a... It's not a live feed, really, is it?
We're recording on location.
So that background noise you hear is the commentator here at the Athletics New Zealand Cross Country Championships held at the Auckland Domain. So really excited to be here.
Really excited.
Filming on location. Filming? Recording on location. So hopefully the sound quality isn't too terrible. The whole idea of us being here today is we're going to try and grab as many interviews as we can with the key people from the events today.
Totally.
And any other famous kind of well-known running people we see sifting around.
Yeah, capture a bit of the vibe around here. It is really a who's who of New Zealand running. I just did an interview with Dick Quacks, one of the most famous New Zealand runners of all time.
Olympic silver medalist, world record holder Dick Quacks. And what happened to that interview, Hayden?
Not only did I forget to press record partway through the interview, but... Then the computer shut down on me and didn't save the thing, so we lost that.
Yeah.
But it was an amazing interview. While we're talking, Laura Nagel is coming through to win the national championships. So she's got a massive lead on Rosa Flanagan of about 100 metres.
Yeah, she's had a storming last lap, Laura Nagel from Hawke's Bay. She's returned from a scholarship over in the States, and she is looking really strong as she crosses the finish line about 100 metres ahead of Rosa Flanagan.
Yeah, here comes Rosa. Back from injury. It's good to see Rosa back, eh?
Yeah, she's had an abbreviated build-up for this event, so she's done really, really well to come in and compete so bravely against Laura. And then...
Then it's daylight, and then we've got our Aussie runner, who I don't know her name, but... She obviously won't be qualifying for the National Champs medals.
No.
But just behind her is Nicole Mitchell, originally from Wellington, now Waikato, coming through for the bronze.
Yes, and one of the exciting things about today is the presence of our Australian friends. So today is not just the New Zealand Champs, it's the Oceania Champs. So we've got a few visitors from the Pacific Islands and this Australian runner who's finishing third in the women's race.
Totally. They do make it look easy running over that muddy ground. I got to say, I did a little workout here with one of my juniors, and that home stretch was pretty boggy and pretty slippery. So
yeah,
they're doing well. So here comes Nicole Mitchell coming in for third place in the national standings. And then, what's her name from Wellington? I should know that. Sarah Drought coming through for fourth. So it's a beautiful day down here in Auckland. It's been freezing.
Yeah.
So cold. But the sun's come out and it's dried up the track pretty nicely. So it's perfect cross-country conditions.
Yeah, we've really turned on the sunshine. And so excellent day. There's a crowd of about 600 or 700 people here from the top of the North Island, a few competitors from Northland all the way down to some southern competitors.
Yeah.
And speaking of southern competitors, we're going to go now to an interview with the winner of the junior girls race, Hannah Miller from Southlands.
Awesome.
So I'm here with Hannah Miller, the winner of the Athletics New Zealand junior girls cross country title from Southland. Tell us a little about the race today, Hannah.
It was pretty much everything I was expecting it to be. The course is really good, a wee bit boggy in places, but nothing I'm not used to coming from Southland.
Yep.
I was expecting to just go out and stick with the top bunch and then sort of take it in the second or third lap and see what happened, but a bunch didn't really form up, so I thought we'll just go with it and see what happens.
So you took the lead pretty early on?
Yeah, I just went to the front right at the start, and Grace was kind of on my shoulder for the first lap, which was nice, and then tried to make a bit of a gap, and she definitely caught me up at the end. I was getting pretty nervous, but...
Yeah. Were you kind of like sneaky looks behind you to see where she was?
Yeah, I was trying not to, but I knew she was real close.
Yeah. So tell us a little more about yourself. So you've been running since about year 10. How'd you get into the sport?
I always just sort of loved distance running at like... and then I got to high school and I found I was better at the 3015 kind of thing. And then I changed high schools in year 10 to Southland Girls in Invercargill and just went down to the track one day, got in contact with Lance Smith.
And he's
been my coach ever since.
Fantastic. And so from Southland, and what's the name of that? You, you mentioned you're from a farm. Is it a really small little town or?
It's just farm in the middle of nowhere. So,
excellent. So what town is closest that people might know?
Probably Gore or Matara. Yeah.
Yeah. And how far out of Gore are you?
About 25, 30 minutes. Oh, yeah.
So literally in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Excellent. That's cool. And do you do a bit of athletics on the track as well?
Yeah, definitely.
What sort of distances do you like on the track?
Try to specialise in the 15 and probably more down into the 8s. I like my faster races, but this season I've been feeling pretty good with my 3s and the build-up, and so I might do a few more 3,000s this year.
Yeah, and so you won the national junior title today. Is this your first national title? Or?
Yeah, I did the New Zealand Half Marathon Champs in Christchurch, and I took out the juniors for that.
Excellent.
Yeah, an hour 18, so I was real stoked with that time. And, yeah, just hopefully build up for some more endurance things.
Wow, an hour 18 over a half marathon. That's pretty good.
Yeah, stoked to make the sub-80 mark, so yeah.
Yeah, excellent. And so after this, I know you've got some big plans for the next few months. You're off to Texas. Can you tell us a little about that?
On Thursday I am leaving to fly out to SMU, Southern Methodist University. There's another Kiwi over there, Annika Grogan, at the moment. So just be with the girls team training hard and, yeah, hopefully laying down some solid times.
Excellent. So that is the winner of the Junior Girls Athletics New Zealand Cross Country Championships, Hannah Miller. Hannah, all the best for the future and thanks for your time.
Thank you.
So a great interview there with Hannah Miller, the winner of the Junior Girls 6-kilometre race and off to SMU University in Texas.
Oh, nice. So, she's going on scholarship.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So really exciting. So there's going to be two Kiwi girls there now, which is really great. So obviously she stepped up and had a great run today, which awkwardly takes me to a subject I've been wondering about, Hayden.
Why am I not warming up right now?
You appear to be in jeans and a trucker hat. So you were keen on having a race initially today, and then a few little injuries popped up. Do you want to tell us about it?
Yeah, well, it sort of comes back to, you know how Nick Willis was saying, you know, in your base phase, you start doing what you want at the end of your training cycle.
Yep.
So, you know, if you're going to be racing in spikes, you should probably start training in spikes. So I didn't do that, basically.
Yeah.
So I didn't include any training in spikes until the weekend before. And that workout just tweaked my Achilles a bit. Didn't feel too bad during the actual workout, but then 2 days later, I was just hopping into the shower of all things, and it tweaked it like the worst little tweak it's had since, since it ruptured. So,
and to provide some background, of course, what is it, 2 years ago you were, or just under 2 years
just
ago,
under 2 years.
You were in the top three at the Queenstown Marathon, cruising around, looking good for a bit of prize money, and then bang,
Achilles goes. Mark. Just popped on me, like literally the noise, the recoiled back into my calf feeling. Yeah, it wasn't a complete rupture, but it was pretty close. And that was a few months in a moon boot and not fun. And as this latest sort of re-emergence of the injury shows, I'm still recovering from it now. I just didn't want to risk it. I've been in this place before and backed off the training, and I bounced back pretty quick, so I knew that an easy week would get me back on track.
So good decision not to run, and likewise for myself, made the decision last week when I jumped on the scales.
Sorry.
Found out that I was weighing over 90 kg. I'm not going to run national cross country. In fact, no, I was never going
to
run national
cross country.
They
need to do the BMI handicap. That's what they need to do.
That would be brilliant. I feel like I'd have a good chance. And if they could introduce some kind of an event that was like a beer mile that also factored in BMI. And maybe
BMI mile.
Yeah, brilliant. I'd give a world champion potential, I think.
So if you're over 40 BMI, maybe you do one less lap.
Yeah. I feel like High Performance Sport New Zealand should investigate funding this event.
The BMI Olympics.
But look, enough about us has-beens. The senior men are currently warming up for their race, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
We're going to try and hunt around for a few more interviews. We want to talk to the winner of the senior women's, Laura Nagel. But we're going to kick back now and enjoy the action of this race. So we'll come back very soon.
with me here in studio is Greg Derbyshire, the winner of the men's vets 35 to 39 race. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Hayden. Yeah. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Yeah, on the podcast. So how did your race go? And congratulations, by the way.
Thanks, mate. I think you should have run it myself. That's what I think.
That was the original plan, but then I heard you were racing. So,
yeah, well, I think quite thankful, really. A few of the other guys, like Stephen Day, he's decided to run the seniors.
Very true, yeah.
Down for the vets. So when I saw he had scratched, I was like, oh, that's quite good. But yeah, there's definitely a few good competitors in there. Yeah, it's a very competitive grade,
totally.
So it's overall, you know, from 35 up. So
And so you won the overall
awesome. So that was,
so you're the fastest old man in
the on the day
country.
The fastest old man on the day running the vets. There are other old men running the seniors.
That's true.
They were pretty fast.
Yeah, cool. And now, how did the race go? Was it 8k for you guys?
8k, mate. So it's a it was just a straight 4 laps, of course. I don't know, I sort of ran on the front the whole time. There's about 5 or 6 of us, I think. There was myself, Dan Nixon from Wellington, Liam Scopes, Jason Cameron, there was a couple of others too, Richard Bennett. And another guy from Wellington as well. We sort of just formed a group, and then after 2 laps I sort of found myself about 30-40 meters out in front, and I didn't actually put in a surge or anything. I'm not sure what happened, but I thought, geez, I'm gonna have
you
to
burn them off.
Well, I don't know. I think when you're at an old person age, you're running. I don't know if you're and then I thought, oh no, I'm gonna have to hold this now for 2 more laps. So I guess I did try to make a bit of a move, and then held on the last lap, and it was good.
Brilliant.
First national cross country title for me.
Congratulations. Because I was going to ask as well, because you went over to the States on scholarship, sort of back in the day, is that right?
That's right. About the same time as Hamish.
Same time. And what university did you go to?
Went to South Dakota State University, so the Jackrabbits.
Yes, very good.
We were Division 2 and Division 1 now. So, but when I was there, it was Division 2. Also ran over there with Nick Burrow, Mark McEwen, who are pretty good, very good runners back in New Zealand.
Awesome. And so this return to running is kind of like a second take on your running career, really, isn't it? Because you took a little bit of a break, I suppose, as far as your competitiveness, but you've done a pretty massive comeback to get back to form.
That's right, mate. That's a good way to put it. I basically, as soon as I came back from the States, like happens a lot with a lot of guys over there, you sort of come back and you get a few injuries and you sort of think, well, I cannot be bothered getting, back into shape again. And I didn't get into shape and I ended up putting on about 28 kilos.
Really?
You know? Wow. So I got up to about 93 kilos, which is terrible. It was really embarrassing now I think about it, eh?
Yeah.
And just from drinking and eating. And I was living in Wellington, so easy to get into the bar life down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we moved back to Auckland, my partner and I, in 2011.
Nice.
And about 2012, ran the Auckland Marathon. Did terribly. And after that I thought, no, I've got to get into shape again.
That was the kick up the backside.
Walked for quite a bit of it. Embarrassing stuff. And so since then tried to get back into shape. And I'm
awesome.
Enjoying it.
How was it trying to shake that weight? Like, you're used to being this sort of wiry, thin runner back in college, blasting out. I mean, what's your 10K PB?
10K PB was 29.50.
Far out.
Stanford, but they always say Stanford's a downhill short track because everybody runs good times there. But that was my best time there.
Awesome.
So it was a bit of a reality check. Then you come back here and
you're walking a marathon.
You're walking a marathon and you're doing, you come back 40 minutes for a 10K.
It's
probably a short 10K anyway,
And just as we're talking, the senior men are coming through. There's a big pack of guys. What's your pick for the senior men?
Oh, look, my pick's Jono Jackson. I think he's really had a great winter, hasn't he?
He's on the front at the moment.
On the front right now. He's a good mud runner. And it looks like the Australian guy in second place. Is that right, Hayden?
Yeah.
Nicholas Whiteman, maybe? Yeah. But there's Oscar Baines and, of course, Daniel Belchin. Yeah, there's heaps of good guys in there. I think it's a...
So in that front pack, you got the Aussie guy, and then you've got 4 Cantabs and 4 Aucklanders. with a couple of stragglers at the back. So it'll be interesting how it unfolds. It's 2K in now.
Already quite strung out as well. You can see it's obviously a decent pace as well. So
yeah. Totally. So I've got to ask, with your comeback, like having run so fast, like how did you kind of approach getting back to fitness again, and sort of maintaining that confidence that you can do it, you can get back to it?
Yeah, I mean, I've never been I've always been quite a self-doubting sort of character anyway. I'm not someone that ever like puts myself up there, or, you know, I always doubt my abilities more. But I think it was more just a case I let myself go quite a bit. So I was kind of thinking I wanted to prove this to myself. You know, I did a lot of bit of running with Scott Winton, Matt Swinium, those guys are sort of the, obviously, you know, good runners. So did some runs with those guys, got back in a bit of shape, I think, to drop weight, but mileage and workouts. That's
yeah. It, yeah. And what sort of mileage are you doing now?
Oh, look, at the moment I do around about maybe 110 to 120 Ks a week. So
cool.
Yeah, not too much, really. But
awesome.
Enough
for
someone my age, yeah. You
know. Yeah, yeah. And workouts?
Workouts are
trying to do. Couple of workouts a week?
Couple of workouts a week. I always try and do, obviously, a longer run on Sunday, and then tempo on maybe Tuesday, and some fartlek on Thursday.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty standard, eh? Nothing crazy. Yeah, that's right.
Awesome. Well, really good to have you on the show. And what's
love,
next
love
for
podcast.
You? Are you going to line up a marathon or something? Or?
Yeah, I think so. I've got. I'm not going to do any of the road champs.
The main reason I'm asking you is so I can avoid you.
I don't think so. No. You're a proven marathon runner. I'm maybe do the Auckland Marathon this year. Actually, so
awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
So give it a crack, eh? So
oh, man.
See how close you can keep to guys like Kieran.
Yeah.
Know?
And what was that time you did when you had to walk? Do you remember what time
it was 3 hours 15. Yeah. 3 hours 15.
Oh, it's still a solid time. Most people listening will be like, far out, that's real fast.
Yeah,
but when you've run a 29 something 10K, that kind of sets you up.
Well, the problem was, I think I went through the half marathon in about 77 or 78 minutes.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. So you put that together, it's not a very good second half. So.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Well, thanks again for joining the show, and congratulations again on your win.
Thank you very much, Hayden. Yeah, good on you.
So with me here is Cam Avery, the winner of the junior men's. So congratulations.
Thanks very much, guys.
Talk us through the race, and what were your strategies? You're kind of hanging back a little bit, or was it everyone went out just way too hard
at
the start?
It wasn't too much of a frantic start, which was nice. It was nice and controlled. But then Dan Hoy and Harry Ewing went to the front and started applying the pressure from very early on. And I kind of got a little bit trapped and was forced to work my way up from a little bit back, which was I don't know if I would have let them go. I guess you'll never really know if I'd been in the position to go with them. But I ended up having to let them get away from me a little bit, and I was kind of playing catch up from there. But in the end, it was actually probably a blessing in disguise, because Dan kept he kept throwing in little wee surges in their little group of three, which they had the opportunity to work together. But thankfully for me, they were more interested in trying to break the group apart. And in the end, that just allowed me to run a nice consistent pace catch back up.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. It looked like just a perfectly paced race, and man, really solid win in the end. And we were kind of saying beforehand, like, this is probably one of the juniors was probably one of the most competitive races in the on the day. So, man, congratulations. How does it feel? Is that your first, like, cross-country national title?
Well, actually, it's funny because 2 years ago at the 2014 Nationals in the youth men, we the first four places were exactly the same as they were today. I managed to take it out back in 2014.
Yep.
It was a bit closer that year. It was me, but then Matt Prest out-sprinted Harry Ewing again for second, third, and then our Canberra teammate Sean Eustace, who was probably the favourite out of all of us Canterbury boys both years.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, dropped back to fourth, but he finished real strong. So the four positions are actually the same as 2 years
ago. That's crazy.
Which is a bit of deja vu.
Wow. How did that happen?
Yeah. So that's got to be a huge advantage. Like, do you have the same coach as Sean Eustace down in Canterbury?
Yeah, and Matt may not be right now, because now he's over in the States, so he's got a new coach over there. But no, I do have the same coach as Sean. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So who coaches you guys down in Canterbury?
I guess we have two coaches. One's Barry McGee. Yep. Barry McGee, the Olympic bronze medalist in the marathon, and he lives up in Auckland, obviously, but he sets our program. And then Sean's father, Craig Eustace, he actually implements it for us.
Wow.
Down in Christchurch.
That's excellent. That's a really unique setup. So obviously, for those who don't know, Barry McGee, Olympic bronze medalist in the Rome Marathon. Yeah, yep. So that's amazing. And one other thing we're saying is, as you know, you had a really strong last lap, didn't muck around and leave it to a sprint finish. You kind of took the race by the scruff of the neck. We're saying the coaches at Stony Brook, they'll be stoked when they hear about this.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah. And so you're heading off. What it's got to be in the next couple of weeks that you're heading off?
Friday the 19th.
Excellent. And you're looking forward to that?
Absolutely.
And so you'll be going into an American cross-country season, right?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And it'll be really... I'm looking forward to those races. It's going to be very very fast, quite flat, very similar courses to this, but probably a bit drier. And I actually prefer it a bit drier, I think. So.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, I was going to actually ask you, what do you think of the Auckland mud? Is it as good as the South Island mud?
Oh, well, we've been so lucky in Christchurch this year.
Really?
It's been our best, this is a...
Warmest.
It's our warmest and driest winter in years. It's breaking all kinds of records, I think. And we're in a drought right now. So I think we only had one race when the heavens opened, and when they did, they really did. It was awful. I hated it. It was also coincided with my worst race of the season, the Holloway Champs. But ever since it's just been dry all day, so all year. So I was actually really worried when Jono Jackson started talking about how mud it was going to be, and it was going to be underwater. And then Lance Smith made me piss my pants when he posted a photo to the New Zealand distance running page of like underwater finish line. I was like, this isn't going to be good. I'm not looking forward to this at all.
Totally. Now, just coming past the start finish line is a pack of three in the senior men's race. We've got Jono Jackson. Who's the guy in third there?
I don't know who the Aussie guy is in second, actually. I'm a little bit.
I'm not sure about that one.
But Dan Boucher from Canterbury is in third there, and I reckon he's looking strong. He's tucked in nicely. He's letting them do the work.
Yeah, so they've got about, 20 metres or so on fourth.
It Oscar.
Looks like it's going to come down to those three.
Mm.
So your picks for Dan to take it?
I reckon he will. Yeah, I reckon he's set himself up nicely. He's experienced enough to know that them taking it is a good thing for him, rather than them asserting their dominance. He's going to let that be a positive for him, and he's going to know that he's saved some energy, and I reckon he's going to come through with his track speed. He closes incredibly quickly. I unfortunately wasn't able to see his Canterbury champs, but I've heard all about it from lots of people, and holy crap, they ran fast. He and Oscar both ran about 31 minutes for the 10K,
which
is probably a little bit less than 10K, but over that course is impressive.
Yeah, so these guys have just gone through, it was about 20 minutes at 6K, so... they probably went pretty easy those first couple of laps. It was quite bunched up. So I imagine the pace is going on because they're really stringing out now.
Yeah.
Is it the sort of course where you could leave it to the last couple of 100 metres? Do you reckon? Or would you want to get the work done in that last cut, those last 2K?
I reckon, well, I guess it's a bit biased for me because it worked for me to go from 2K and 2K out worked for me. But, I mean, as you saw, Isaiah Pretty and stuff in the under-18 men's managed to leave it to the last 200. And he was the favourite going in, and he asserted his dominance there in the last 200 and came away nicely with the win. So,
cool.
Obviously, I mean, you can leave it then. I mean, I probably wouldn't like to, but that's just me.
Yeah, and especially the finishing straight, it is quite boggy compared to some of the other dry parts.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like the Aussie guy's taking the lead, but I imagine they might even let him go
and just
fight for the national title.
Yeah, because we've got to remember Oscar's still in third position for the nationals. The Aussie guy's up for Oceania's. I completely forgot it was Oceania's, to be honest. It was a nice
sort of the sideshow to the nationals. I mean, we've got some Pacific Island runners that are kind of just coming through now.
A couple of Aussies, one in the senior women, one in the senior men, obviously, who's taking it on. But
Yeah, so Oscar's in third, and then I'm not too sure who's sitting there in fourth. The
I can't
open
see
runner.
From here.
We'll see once they come back around again. So, yeah, very exciting. But thanks for joining the show.
No
and
problem.
Man, all the best for heading over to the States on scholarship. I'm sure you're going to tear it up over there and, do us proud.
Thanks very much, mate. It's been a pleasure being on here again.
Awesome. Cheers, bro. All right, so into the last lap now of the senior men's race, and they've just come through the Aussie. We can't remember his name, but we'll just call him the Australian. Nicholas Whiteman. He's sort of just put in a little surge, so he's opened up a small gap, but still Jono Jackson and Dan Belchin are holding strong. In fact, it looks like Dan and the Aussie might be pulling away from Jono, so big news. Oscar's pretty much secured that third national bronze spot. But yeah, big battle going on for third. Now with me here is Gareth Archer, who's the man behind this event, the Athletics New Zealand events manager. So welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks very much. It's I wouldn't say the man behind, definitely the Athletics Auckland officials have been the driving force, cool. Especially a couple of Diane and Paul Craddock. Big thanks to them for all the efforts. And it's amazing that the amount of work that volunteers can do, and you know, they're basically doing a whole other job. They do their 40 hours at work and then another 40 working on the cross country a week sometimes. So it's amazing, yeah, the amount of work that goes into something like this. And yeah, really indebted to those guys.
Cool. Now, what kind of inspired you guys to bring the race to the Auckland domain? Usually we see it in sort of out-of-the-way places like Waikanae or a race course somewhere, but a high-profile venue like this, what sparked that?
Well, there's been a big push again, I guess, the more traditional athletics events and cross-country certainly being one of those to kind of give them a bit more profile again. And there's actually been a couple of really good races this year in Rotorua. They did a fantastic job with the secondary schools, putting it, you know, on the Agrodome very close to the city there, and you know, rave reviews on that course. And actually about 12 months ago, Athletics Auckland approached me and said, we'd love the domain as our option. So it does take a lot of work, but a lot of negotiation with council and things to get the facility. But once you actually get it, testament to it's actually worth all the effort to see today just how fantastic it looks right in the middle of the city.
Yeah, it's beautiful with the museum up there, the Sky Tower behind us, and very cool. And everyone's in this old school grandstand looking over the field. So it's a really cool picture. And World Uni Games, is that going to be back here? And are you kind of involved with that as well next year, or is that
World Masters?
Oh yeah, sorry, World Masters.
World Masters, yeah. So the World Masters Games is, as we all know, probably now the advertising's pretty hard out with that, but they're going to be in Auckland, and I believe 25 sports, but the cross country will be in the domain. And then actually that was a big thing that we wanted to make sure with that there was a thorough, I guess, test event, although the cross country in itself in New Zealand and Oceania, obviously very prestigious in itself. But we just wanted to, you know, and that was probably a good way to work with council to say, well, hey, look, you need to get things right for the Masters event, for that world event. So let's run the New Zealand champs on the same course. And awesome. It's all looking really good. The athletes have been really positive. So I think no reason to change anything basically from what we're doing today. It's just a case of making sure we get a little bit better weather, hopefully, in April than we did in July.
Yeah, and I was going to ask as well, do you think the groundkeeper's going to be happy with the state of the grass after this?
Well, to be honest,
not
I think
it's too bad.
It's a lot better than we had a windy day that's obviously dried things out. It's fantastic. Yep. And it's done a treat. I think for the first time in a long time, they actually kicked off soccer and rugby yesterday for athletics. So usually it's the other way around. So we're really happy about that they actually worked so in with us. So the council worked in and said, look, we'll get the other providers to use other grounds, and they've saved this for us. So really, really grateful to Auckland Council for that. And I think we've done officials have done a really good job just sort of smoothing out the corners and things to make sure we're not really rutting things up, and there's carpet in places there needs to be, and things like that. So I think one thing with athletics is they do really look after the ground, and we know if we want to keep it, we need to really really make sure we can look after it, and hopefully this becomes a regular fixture.
Yeah, totally. Now, just looking at the race, the Aussie has pulled away. He's put in a massive surge in this last lap, so he's opened up probably 50 metres, looking so strong. Then we've got Dan Belchin, who's got about 10 metres on Jono Jackson, and then it's a couple of hundred metres back to Oscar. So it looks like those will be the places Who was your pick coming in? Did you have any favourites?
Yeah, well, we had looked at a little bit of the form on the Aussie guy, Whiteman, coming into it. And yeah, apparently I've been told that New Zealand has never won the Oceania cross country when it's been in New Zealand. So, yeah, again, probably the curse might have struck again. And the Aussies have sent a strong athlete across. And Nicholas will be getting ready for the Australian cross country champs in a couple of weeks in Canberra. And obviously, form's there. And I think coming into the home straight now, he's going to he's going to do the business.
It looks like Jono's actually making a massive surge on Dan here. In fact, Jono's coming flying past. He's putting his head down, going for it. He's opening up yards and yards now. I think Dan's given up the ghost on this. This is a huge finish from Jono Jackson. So Nicholas Whiteman, he's going to be the winner of the race. I don't think Jono will get him. Just 100 metres to run now. Jono's finishing very, very strong. He's timed his run to perfection. So all right, so as you would have heard the commentators say, the Australian comes home with the win, then Jono Jackson, Dan Belchin comes through, probably about 20 metres behind after a massive surge from Jono Jackson. And then we've got Oscar coming in for the bronze medal in the national title, race. So, man, great racing here. And thanks, Gareth, for you and the team putting together this great event.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Awesome. Hey, thanks.
So with us here is the national champion of the New Zealand Cross Country Champs. How's that feel, Jono Jackson?
Oh, it feels pretty good. It's a bit of a relief because I've been trying for so many years and I've always come sort of second, third, fourth, you know, the bridesmaid position. So,
yeah, totally.
And especially with a home crowd. I mean, all my mates and family and even work colleagues came down to support me. So
yeah,
gave me an extra little boost.
Awesome. And it seemed like that there's a pretty well-timed boost as well with about 200-300 metres to go. You put in a massive surge, closed probably 10 or 15 metres and then stormed past.
Yeah, I think in this case, because the home straight's probably the boggiest part of the course, it was actually an advantage to come from behind because it's so hard to sort of accelerate. So I got a bit of a jump on Dan and then I think we were both just toast from there on in. So it was just surviving to the line.
Yeah, it looked like when you came past, it said just sort of went down and he was already in the hurt locker. So
yeah, I think he played his chips a bit early maybe, but you never know if Belchie's such a tough guy. I mean, he's sort of grunting all the way around the course, so you think he might be hurting and then all of a sudden he'll throw a surge and put 10 metres on you. So
yeah,
you never count him out. No, for sure.
Yeah, awesome. And so how did the race unfold for you? It looked quite packed the first lap. People weren't really strung out.
Was it
reasonably slow at the start?
No, I actually kept it because I sort of took the first four laps really until the Aussie guy took it. That was sort of the plan. I actually kept pretty much the same pace the whole way. It's just relentless. That's what happens in Crossy. And I like to think of it as a sort of slow death. And the person who wins is kind of the guy who dies the slowest. So we were just keeping the pace, keeping the cadence going, and really just picking people off each lap. And then last 2K, the Aussie guy and Dan, they sort of took off a little bit and got a bit of a gap on me.
Cool.
And, but I managed to just claw close enough so I could actually have a crack in the last
finishing straight. Yeah, it seemed like you kept yourself in the game, like not let that that string sort of get too strung out between you and the leaders.
You don't want that rope to break, otherwise you're looking behind you. So I try to focus and stay looking ahead at Dan rather than looking back at Oscar.
Cool. And you look pretty smooth running across that pretty boggy ground. Have you got any sort of technique approaches to running on the... aside from nice long spikes.
That helps. I tend to focus on rhythm and keeping light feet and cadence, just keeping, keeping it ticking on because it's really momentum. You've got to keep that momentum going.
And you
tend to sort of float over it rather than sink into it. So that's what I focus on. And it helps to actually practice on it, really.
Yeah, totally.
If you're coming from hard courses all year and trying to run in the bog, it's not going to end well. So practice definitely helps.
Yeah, it's interesting because we've had a typically wet Auckland winter, but I hear from the Canterbury guys that it's been quite dry there. So that might have been a little factor that played in your favour. And Yeah, thank goodness for the rainy Auckland weather.
Yeah, actually wasn't as buggy as I thought. I mean, last week was shocking. This is a track race compared to that. But I think we had a lot of wind the last couple of days. I think it dried it out a bit, luckily. Yep. So
yeah, I think you're right. We've had sun pretty much all day and pretty cold wind, but it's definitely dried up the track. So
that's the aim of Crossy, though. You're not meant to know what to expect. You're meant to just sort of, you know, throw a caution to the wind and really just have a sort of a battle with the other of the guys in the race. So
awesome.
It's good racing. Yeah.
Cool. So what's on the cards next for you?
I'll do the road season, the short road season. So I'll probably go down to Marston and race Dan and Oscar and stuff again down there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of the rematch, eh? A few weeks later, you'll get together for National Road Champs.
Yeah, so, I mean, the two guys before me, who won Crossy Nationals, Hixie and Moody, did the double. So they won Crossy and the Roads. So,
cool.
Hopefully
sets
that's
the precedent.
Yeah, a bit of pressure, but hopefully I can try to do the same. And then after that, it's just road relays.
Awesome.
So I'm ACA. That's my club up in Auckland. And
yeah.
We're looking to have a pretty strong team. So we won 2 years ago. And, I mean, the likes of Scottish and stuff are always strong. So we're just trying to get on the podium for that as well.
Cool.
In Rotorua.
Brilliant. Well, thanks again for joining the show and congratulations on your title.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, cheers.
Awesome.
All right, and so joining me now is the Athletics New Zealand Senior Women's Cross Country Champion, Laura Nagel. Laura, tell me, how did the race pan out for you?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. Just kind of didn't really know how it was going to go. I haven't really run too much cross country at all and not a big fan of cross country.
Yeah.
And it was 10K, so just kind of went with Rosa and kind of see how that played out and stuck there for a few laps. And then around 7K, just sort of tested the pace and that kind of worked out and kind of went with it, so it was good.
yeah And so obviously you've got to be stoked beating Rosa, who's coming back from a little injury, but for the people listening at home, so Laura Nagel might not be a household name, so I know you've spent some time in the States, but beyond that, can you tell us a little about your running backgrounds?
I grew up in Napier. I started running back when I was like 13, just did a whole lot of high school stuff and kind of kept going with it after I started to have a little bit of success. And I went off to the States in 2010. I went straight after I went to World Juniors, actually, and I loved it a lot and decided to stay for 6 years instead of the usual four.
Well, in what university were you at in
the States? At Providence College.
Oh wow, excellent.
So Julian Oakley's there at the moment.
Yes.
Marcus Caramel. I can't even pronounce his last
name. Marcus from Wellington.
Marcus from Wellington. We've had a whole lot of really good runners through there. And like Kim Smith is still always around. So she was an awesome role model to have. And it was really cool.
And kind of how did you get on over there? Like, obviously, the NCAA system can be quite demanding. How did you go in your time?
My coach was really good with that kind of stuff. So cross country was kind of his baby, and I absolutely loved that side of it. It turned into more of a team sport, which a lot of people don't necessarily get that opportunity.
Yeah.
So in 2013, our team won the NCAA cross country championship title, which was huge for us. That's probably my most memorable.
That's amazing.
So we'd only ever done it once before, and that was in 1996. So that was huge for us. Absolutely loved that. The girls are like best friends, so it was really cool. And then individually I ran 9:01 for 3k and like 15:42 for 5k, so those are like my PBs at the moment. But like you said, it's very tough, so I didn't even win those races.
Fast forward 6 years, you're back in New Zealand. You're running for the Hawke's Bay Center, so you're back in the bay. What are you up to? Are you still very focused on running, or do you have a job? What are you up to?
I like to be a very balanced person. Like, obviously, running is a huge part of my life, but I like to have other things. So I actually just got a job at Sport Hawke's Bay as the marketing communications advisor. So I start that tomorrow, actually.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
So I'm excited to kind of get involved and hopefully have kind of apply what I learned the last 6 years and what I've seen and what I was involved with, really, and kind of see how that can
come from the American system.
So I actually worked the last 2 years kind of more behind the scenes and like media relations at the school I was at. So I got to see a whole lot of things that are just bizarre. Ah, really, but no, it was
very
good.
Cool. Well, and then, you know, switching the focus back to running, what's the plans for the next 6 months to a year?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much stay as healthy as I can. That's like the biggest component to what my coach sort of gives us, sort of thing, is staying healthy, because that consistency, yep, you know, building on that kind of thing is most important. But yeah, working, I mean, what, Road Nationals is coming up in about a month, so that's the next one, and then go to track. Road and track are my favorite.
Yeah,
more road. I wish there was more of it, but yeah.
Yeah, and do you have any sort of international competitions in the back of your mind that you're targeting?
Not at the moment. I mean, well, obviously I'd love to do World Champs and Commonwealth Games the next 1 to 2 years, but kind of just playing it, you know, one step at a time. Like, injuries pop up, things definitely don't always go the way that they should, or the way that you'd want them to. So, yeah, kind of seeing how that goes. And
Yeah, well, and we look forward very much to seeing how that goes. So if anyone wants to keep up with your progress, do you have like an athlete page or Instagram?
I have an Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a Twitter. I'm not as vocal on that. But, yeah, Instagram is probably my favorite one.
Excellent. Very good. Cool. Yeah. Well, I'm sure everyone will be looking forward to keeping up with that. So best of luck for the next year.
Thanks.
And congratulations again.
Thank you.
So we're down here at the National Cross Country Champs. There's a lot of people today who have been warming up, doing lots of funny things, stretching, bounding around the place.
Yeah, some interesting calisthenics and all sorts of different stuff.
Yeah, so we wanted to talk a little bit about how to warm up for these shorter distance races. Obviously, if you're doing a marathon, you're not going to need to do a huge amount of warm-up. Maybe we can talk about that as well. But for the shorter distances, you know, anything from sort of 4K to up to 10K, which is what people are doing at the cross-country champs, how would you warm up?
Look, I like all things in athletics, there's many different ways to skin a cat. But I just overplayed it before. I said, oh, there's lots of people doing lots of different things. Actually, that's not true. So here at the National Cross Country Champs, if you look at 10 athletes closely when they warm up, all 10 of them will follow roughly the same pattern.
Yeah.
And it's a pattern that is consistent amongst, you know, top-level runners through to club runners, international runners, and it's really as simple as you can imagine. You go for a run to warm up, to literally
nice
warm
and
up.
Easy.
Yep, nice and easy. And you would back that pace way back to whatever you're comfortable. Some people like to run it a bit faster than others, but, you know, I think that's personal preference.
How long would you go?
Look, I used to look at anywhere between 10 and 20 minutes.
Yep.
And 20 minutes is really that top end. If you're really, really fit and 20 minutes of running isn't going to affect you before a race.
Yep.
Through to the minimum, I think, is 10 minutes, because you're just not going to...
Yeah, the blood's got to get pumping, eh?
Yeah. And so post-run, I go into dynamic stretching. So I am not a big...
So before the race, post your warm-up run.
Yep. Some dynamic stretching, and that's just literally just swinging my legs around back and forward. Maybe I'd swing my arms around, and I might go through a few simple drill exercises, like the A skip and the B skip, which are all, you know, relatively simple and easy to learn.
Our TempoFit runners are like, the B skip simple.
Yeah, well, yeah.
it takes a little while to get, a few weeks, but... Yeah.
Yeah. And then once I've done that, I'll do a few quick, short, sharp stride outs, so maybe 5 or 6 50-meter strides. How does that sound to you, Hayden?
Yeah, that sounds pretty much what I do as well. Yeah. I might go for a little bit longer, especially if it's a shorter race like a 5K. I might do it 25 minutes.
Yeah.
But that's because I'm getting older and locked up and it takes longer for the blood
to get flowing. Yeah, I certainly found that throughout my career. As a teenager, my warm-up was 2 laps, so 800 meters. Yeah. Through to in the twilight of my career, I was much like you, actually. Yeah. 20, 25 minutes. And, the knee would start to loosen up and the back would start to feel a bit better. So it makes a lot of sense.
And the whole reason for doing that is if you start cold, A, you're not able to function as well as you can. Your body's just not as efficient. But B, you can just pull up with a hammy in the first 100 metres. That's the main thing, isn't it? It's getting your body warmed up, getting the juices flowing. And also getting your mind in the game.
Yeah. And look, what I find interesting, when you talk about training philosophies, there's all sorts of different schools of thought and all these different theories.
Yeah.
with warm-ups, I actually don't see that. I think warm-ups are kind of consistent. What your theory of training, and the one major change that has kind of happened over the past 10 years is around stretching. So it used to be everyone did static stretching. So they would find a wall and do a calf stretch and a hamstring stretch and a quad stretch. Through 10 years ago, that was quite common. Through to now, very rarely do you see people static stretching. It's all about the dynamic kind of flexibility.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, now the race is actually over and I can't see any athletes doing any form of static stretching.
Yeah, yeah. It's really fallen out of vogue. And there's a lot of good research that explains why static stretching might not be the best idea. Running.
Yeah.
It still has its place. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other thing is that with any warm-up routine, you want to practice it. So you want to have done it in your workouts.
Oh, yeah.
You want it as that thing that gets you in the zone. It's those movements that you go through to get your body in the zone, ready to fire on race day. All right, so thanks for joining the coverage of the National Cross Country Champs here in Auckland. It's been a fun day.
It's been an awesome day, and we're just talking about it. We'll make a little disclaimer. It might be a bit of a scratchy show. There's been a lot of noise in the background.
A lot of background noise.
A lot of excitement, and we've just kind of grabbed interviews and talked to people. Really cool interviews.
Yeah.
So hopefully you've really enjoyed
Especially the Dick Quack interview that was deleted.
Oh, my gosh, Hayden. If I was in charge, I would fire you. That's terrible. But you can't fire yourself. So.
I know.
Yeah, and it's like you don't go up to an Olympic silver medalist and ask him to redo the interview that he just did.
Yeah, because we accidentally deleted it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Amateurs, anyway. Look, we hope you've enjoyed it. And I know we talk about it a lot. Cross country has a kind of a small participation base, but it's the heart of our sport. And we really... we're going to pump it a bit more as we head into next cross country season because we think it's a great way to explore your own potential as a runner, to improve as a runner, and really connect to the grassroots of the sport.
Yeah,
so
cool.
We hope you've enjoyed our coverage today.
So up next week, we're going to be talking Olympics. Just everything's going to be
gosh.
Olympics.
We're going to smash it.
So join us next week. Don't forget to check in on Facebook, on Tempo Fit on Facebook, and jump on tempofit.org. Give us an email, krs@tempofit.org. We'd love to hear from you and tune in next week. Thanks, guys.
Ka kite anō.